drugs and partying and living a horrible, violent lifestyle. And this same retreat that I'm going to preach this week, the same one I got saved at 11 years ago. And it's just amazing how all that works out in God and His goodness. And I'm blessed. Amen. Glad to be here. If you had told me 11 years ago that I'd be preaching to you here, I would have thought, ain't no way. Amen. I struggled so much to get out of high school. I didn't feel like I could hold my thoughts together. And but I will tell you this. You serve the Lord, God will restore your mind. He'll touch your body if you serve Him. And just in case people have asked me before, but they said, well, how did you get into the ministry? I said, well, God called me into the ministry. 11 years ago when I got saved, about a month later, I received the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And then the Lord called me to preach. And that's all I've done for 11 years. I've worked a job here and there. But nevertheless, God's allowed us. The core of my life, it's centered around the calling. And I don't believe this is just something you do for the fun of it. I believe this is a calling, and I know God's called me to do that today. So I just want to testify and give God the glory for His goodness, and looking forward to what God has in store here this morning. And I love just what God's doing here in the church. We love you all. John 14, going to read one verse to you here this morning. And I'm going to preach to you this morning on the missing piece. The missing piece. But the word peace there, we're talking about P-E-A-C-E. The missing peace, talking about peace of mind and peace in spirit. Peace that comes from the Lord. John 14 and 27, that's what it says. This is Jesus speaking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's read it one more time. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. Those that would, let's pray and just ask God to bless the preaching of His word here this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness here this morning, Lord. We thank you for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. God, I know this morning I can't comprehend every situation and every heart. But God, you know absolutely everybody that is here. You know it's not an accident. You know exactly what we're all going through. And I ask you right now, God, today somebody would find that missing piece in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Peace is a popular word, and I'm not going to ask, but if any of you were alive, and I know several you were during the 60s, it became even more popular at that time. But we understand the peace that I'm preaching about here this morning and the peace that's referred to there in the 60s are two different things. And I really want to clarify on that here today, because what the world calls peace and what God calls peace are really two different things, even though they may have some similarities when everything is said and done. Apart from God, I would go ahead and establish this in your minds. Apart from God, it is impossible. It's absolute impossibility for one to have that ultimate peace that one needs in their life. Turmoil is in us. It is near us. It is around us. It is beyond us. It is dominating the fallen world in which we live. There are people everywhere that I bump into, and even in the house of the Lord, and when you talk to them, one of the things that they need in their heart and mind, they need peace. But there is an absence of personal peace within their life. There's an absence of peace in their families. There's absence of peace locally and nationally and internationally. This world is in need of peace. We need peace in our cities. We need peace in our communities. We need peace in our families, in our relationships. And we need peace in the world, because we live in a world that is full of unrest. And it starts off, the reason that this world internationally and globally is in unrest is because men and women individually do not have the peace that I'm preaching about here this morning. Everybody seeks it. Everybody in this world and society, nobody likes stress. Nobody likes anxiety, nor fear, nor depression, nor despair, nor conflict. And nobody really likes those things if you're in your right mind. And you would say to me today, if I was to ask everybody in this room, if you are in your right mind, you would look at me and say, Brother Derek, I'd much rather have peace than turmoil in my life. People talk about finding peace and quiet, rest and relaxation. They talk about all these different things. The law enforcement tries their best to keep peace. The military tries its best. There's agencies to try to establish international peace. And there's entertainment and shopping and all these things that people say promotes peace in one's life. But I would once again remind you, all of these things that I have mentioned to you are external and cannot fix the internal. They may stimulate your flesh. They may touch your mind. And they may even give you a moment of reprieve in your life. But it cannot give you that deep down seated must have peace that is in your life. In order for you to function as the man and the woman that you are to be, you must have the peace of God in your life. We must have God in our life if we are going to experience that peace. So what does the Bible say about peace? It has much to say about it. I was reading this week, doing a little study, as in prayer out here in the sanctuary, I felt in my heart to preach about these verses that I mentioned to you here today. It led me on a little bit of a study about this word peace in the Bible. And I would let you know instantly from reading the Bible and doing a good word study on this word peace that many of us live with a very small definition of what peace really is. We believe that a moment of calm, we believe a little bit of just calmness in our spirit, something external, something temporary. And there we talk about that peace and that tranquility, that brief calmness in our heart. That's what we often define as peace, something that is often temporary, something that is fleeting. But I want to let you know again this morning, there is a peace that comes only from God. And when we understand what that is and that it comes from His power and His strength within us, that is how you can live a life that is pleasing to Him, and also a life that is at peace. Peace in the Old Testament of the Bible. I looked up the word, and many of you may be familiar with this old Hebrew word called shalom is what the word is. It was actually the very common Jewish greeting in that day. They would look at one another and would say, shalom brother or shalom sister. And what that word shalom means, it means peace is what it means. It's found 250 times in the Old Testament. It's very common. But what does the word peace or the word shalom mean? Does it simply mean to stop fighting with your wife and your neighbor? I hope it means more than that. Does it mean just a temporary looking at somebody and telling them, look, keep the peace, man, or keep the peace, sister? Keep the peace. Is it something that is just a brief truce or a brief ceasefire? As one writer said years ago, here in this world with all of its wars, that when people stop for peace, they just stop long enough to reload and fire another shot. That describes the world in which we live. But the word shalom is a very large, all-encompassing word. In essence, it means to wish for completeness, to wish for contentment and fulfillment, satisfaction, blessing and well-being, prosperity on all levels, a desire that all good would flow into your life. It means completeness and fullness. And if there's ever something we need in our society, it's men and women to experience the fullness of God Almighty and the completeness in their heart. Don't be satisfied with just being physically well. There's a lot of times somebody can be physically well and their spirit is in turmoil. It all works together. When somebody says shalom or peace, it means I want you to be made whole through and through on all levels. I want you to be complete, content, and satisfied. And that can only come in the Lord Jesus Christ. My, how this world tries its best to satisfy. The answer is not another restaurant, even though we steadily put them up and we keep them in business. The answer is not a, you know, a vacation. I've had my moments on vacation where I have a moment of peace where you kick back and you got coffee. I like going to the mountains. But that lasts about 2 days because you start thinking about going home. And not that everything's going wrong at home, but you got responsibilities and you realize kicking back and drinking coffee and looking at the mountains is not going to be an everyday reality when you get back. And you're, there it is. And then you realize how much money you might have spent on vacation, and it just gets worse and worse and worse if you're not careful. That's only temporary peace. Vacations are nice. I believe we should take them and enjoy ourselves occasionally, but I'm telling you, that's not going to bring you lasting peace. Peace from God is something that is deep and concrete and real. It's not psychology trying to manipulate your mind. It's not trying to make you think better. Peace from God is a gift that is given to all of those that will serve Him. I've had to take a little bit of psychology courses in school over the years, and I realized what they do. They manipulate the mind into making you think more positive about life. Now, I do realize there's times there's physical problems. I realize at times there can be chemical imbalances. I am not completely, I live in reality. I understand those things do exist. But I'm telling you, the mass amount of men and women that are on depression medicine, and it's rising every single year. What I'm trying to tell you is there's something more to be said than if a man or a woman would sell out to Christ and surrender to Him, read the Bible, and live His Word. I believe there would be less people on some of these things and living like they are living. Why? Because we've got to do more than just manipulate the mind. You know, I have never had a brain scan. It's probably a good thing. I don't know what they're going to find up there. I'm sure they'll probably figure out there's something going on somewhere, maybe or maybe not. But I read one time, it says all of us have our ways about us. And if they were to look at your brain, you do function a certain way and somebody else does. And they would, you know, to me, there'd be somebody over here that acts a certain way. I may say, think that's different, but they look at me and think I'm completely different as well. So trying to manipulate us to all act the same way or think the same way in that way, and in a psychological form, it cannot bring a fullness in your spirit. But I am for this, reading the Bible and acting the way the Bible says, and I believe you'll get a lot more results in this world. I'm not crazy. I just got the mind of Christ. The world may think I'm crazy. They may think we're crazy for coming here on a Sunday morning, preaching and teaching and listening to Brother Derek yell at you for 35 or 40 minutes and then to leave here. They may think you're crazy, but no, we're not crazy. We just have the mind of Christ. We believe what the Bible says. The New Testament, the word means the same thing. But let's get in here real quick and understand what the Bible says about this. He talks about this in John 14 and 27. Firstly, I would have you notice is this. Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. Jesus, notice that. Whose peace is it? He says, my peace I give unto you. I will comment more on that in just a few moments. But I must pause here and acknowledge something. Jesus is saying this in John chapter 14. It's that same night He's going to be arrested. It's the next morning that He's going to be crucified on a cross. He's going to be beaten with the cat of nine tails. He's going to be tortured. And history knows what happened to Christ. It doesn't deny that. We read the Bible. We know what's about to happen to Jesus. He knows what's about to happen to Him. He knows because He's the Son of God. He's looking forward. He knows He's going to the cross. He spoke of it many times. But how can one who is in the shadow of the cross, about to be crucified, look at His discouraged disciples and say something like this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you? Isn't that amazing that Jesus, who is about to die, is worried about the peace of His disciples, but even among that, Jesus Himself has peace? Isn't that amazing? I often say it jokingly, but how true it is. It don't take nothing for us but our washing machine breaking down and we lose half our peace. It's true. Let something go wrong one time. I hope they don't get your order wrong in the drive-thru. Come on now. And I hope the traffic ain't as bad as it, you know, we live around here, you know how traffic is. And man, it don't take much, and all of a sudden our circuits are being overridden. And we're thinking, my, what a day this is. How horrible it is that I'm living such a life. I'm going through this, I'm going through that, and all of a sudden I just want to get home. All this is going wrong, and that's all it takes for us to lose our peace. We should be a lot stronger than that. God help us that we have not become so Americanized and spoiled that simply because something don't go the way that you want it to go, that you lose your peace. It's a problem in the church. But Jesus is about to die on the cross, and he talks about this peace. So this morning, I want to show you four aspects of supernatural peace. Four aspects of it. Number one, let's look at the nature of this peace. Now, I don't want to lose you here, but please do listen for a few moments. The peace that I'm speaking of this morning is objective and subjective. And if you're not familiar with those terms, what objective means is that this peace is outside of you. And what subjective means is that this peace is also inside of you. So when something is objective, it is outside of us. And when something is subjective, it is inside of us. And that's what we've got to understand. Number one, notice what it says. He says, "Peace I leave with you." Jesus here is showing us that peace is a deposit, a gift, and a transaction that he's giving to us to have. There's many verses in the Bible that we could read about right here that describes this. But number one, understand this. Peace is a gift from God that is given to all of those that are serving him. It is not a right of unbelievers and the unregenerate, but those that are serving the Lord, God is already giving you the peace that you need in your life. When you were a sinner, I don't know how you viewed yourself, but I'll tell you what the Bible calls you as a sinner. He called you an enemy of God. Now, that's what the Bible says. You are not at peace with God. There's conflict. You don't like what the Bible says, and you don't like other things of God. You don't like the church. And when the Spirit deals with your heart, you object to that. That's because you are at conflict with God. But Romans 5:1 says this, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the good news. You may ask me, Brother Derek, what is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? It tells us this in Romans 10:15. How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's what I'm preaching as a preacher. What is the good news? You as a sinner are in conflict with God. You are not a friend of God. You are an enemy of God. But the good news is this, that Jesus Christ made a way that you could be at peace with him. That's good news. I've had the blessed opportunity of going to the remote tribes of Africa and telling them good news. I didn't get into the Trinity and all those things. Where'd you start with? Jesus died for your sins. And there was a penalty against you that you could not pay. There was a wrath against you that you could not satisfy. But the good news is this. This is the gospel. Jesus died for you. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. This is the vertical truth of the gospel. I am at peace with God here today. Aren't you glad you're at peace with him? If not, can I share the good news with you very simply? The ABCs of the gospel is this. Ask the Lord to come into your heart that you know that you're a sinner and that you realize that his death on the cross satisfied the wrath of God. And there you can be at peace with God, because if you're at peace with God, you can be at peace with each other. It's foolish in this world to think that we're going to pass a policy to make sure everybody's got peace with each other if they don't have peace with God. It must start there. But not only that, not only is it outside of us as a gift, it is something that is inside of you as well. Because of the gospel, which is a gift, we have this experience of peace, this internal peace. That's why Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." The peace of God is a gift to you, and it's something that you experience on the inside. I want to tell you once again, there's nothing like the peace of God when you are born again and you know that you are right with him. That's why Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." said, Brother Derek, I'm losing my mind. I have no peace. I wonder what your relationship is with God. And if you were somebody to look at me and say, well, I know I'm saved, and I know I'm a Christian, and I know that I've been forgiven. Let me ask you, are you surrendered like you should be? Are you obeying the word as you should? There's something somewhere that prevents peace in our mind, in our heart. So this peace that I'm talking about is not passive. It is triumphant. It is aggressive. It is conquering. It protects us from anxiety and fear and doubt and despair. Do you have this peace this morning? Number two, my second point is this. The source of this peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Can somebody say, my peace? Jesus said, my peace. I want you to get that. My peace I give unto you. So this peace comes from heaven. It belongs to Christ. It is gifted to us. And thank God for this peace. We experience it through the Holy Ghost. It says, when the Spirit comes, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Ghost makes this a reality. Paul the apostle understood this. In the 13 letters that he wrote, 12 of those have the words mentioned, grace and peace. He realized how much peace we need in this world. My third point tonight, and I really want to drive this one home to you. Listen to what he says. Jesus says this, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. You notice how the advertisement in this world works. If they think they found something that's going to relieve stress, something that's going to promote peace temporarily, I mean, there's more diet pills and there's more programs and there's more. I've never seen so much of it in my life. Every time you turn on something, if you turn on the TV, there's a commercial. Having a bad day, won't you do this? Having a bad day, won't you try that? You go here, they advertise something. I mean, they even advertise it through lotions. They got stress relief lotions. They got stress balls. They got everything you can speak of that's supposed to promote some kind of peace in your life. Burn this candle. Use this lotion. And I do realize there's some things to that certain smells and lotions can make you feel a little better at certain times than others. Burn a candle, it's more relaxing, whatever it is. But do you think that's what the Bible's speaking of? Jesus wasn't interested in selling personal candles. He could care less. You can still buy them. I don't care if you go to Bath and Body Works. I don't care. Have fun. It's all right. But what I'm saying is Jesus promotes more than lotions and candles and scents and all these things. But he gives us a lasting peace. Not as the world giveth. This is not in the human realm. It's not a medicine. It's not psychology. It's not, I don't even get all this new thing, but it's called good vibes. I have a relative that lives somewhere. Every time I get on the internet, good vibes. Sending good vibes your way, and it's got like her fingers like this, and I guess she's supposed to be sending some sort of positive energy towards your direction. Wouldn't that be the answer? We just walked around, so here you go. Spirit fingers, good vibes. You'd be surprised. I could probably start a ministry called Good Vibes and probably blow the walls out of a church having to grow it so quick. Just stand over everybody. Always talk positive. Never mention sin. Just good vibes, everybody. Have a good day. It's more than good vibes. The only way you can have true peace is to have truth. Amen? If you don't have truth, you can't have peace. It's like going to the doctor and you're sick. I don't care how many times he says you're not sick. If the test says you're sick, you're sick. I don't care if he gives you good vibes and good words and can tell you good night. It's not going to heal the dilemma. You've got to know the truth. And that's the only way humanity can come to peace. It's not as the world giveth, I give unto you. The world's peace is inadequate. The wicked have no lasting peace. But Jesus gives a joy and a peace that is unspeakable. It is a gift. It is true. The world talks about peace. They prepare for war and all these different things. They have conferences. They invent new things. But they will never find the answer to the human dilemma. Last point here this morning, number four. Last point is this, your pursuit of peace. Now, some may be thinking, Brother Derek, you said it's a gift. and then you tell us to pursue it. Sounds more like a paycheck. No. The Bible is full of promises that He tells us to pursue. Can I give you an example? Here's $1 million, but you got to drive to California to pick it up. Is it still a gift? Oh, yes, it is. Would anybody other than me be heading to California as soon as you could get there? Oh, yeah, I would fly first class for the first time and then buy a car and drive home. But is it still a gift even though I have to go get it? Yes. It's like having money in the bank and talking about it, didn't need the money and never going to get it. God has given you peace as a gift, but you've got to operate in it. You've got to use it. And it's not strange for us to have a promise than a command. Here's peace, He's saying, use it. And that's why I want to read this, the rest of this verse to you. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's saying this, here's the peace. Now it's up to you not to worry and not to be troubled and not to be afraid. See, we want God to force peace on us, but that's not how God works. God is looking at you this morning and said, here's peace. Now don't worry, don't be afraid, and don't fear. You are in control of it. It's up to you what you allow to trouble your spirit. Once again, I know this is a mature message, because sometimes we have a natural tendency to react a certain way. But I know if you got bad news tomorrow, I know different one of us, I know myself, if tomorrow the doctor looked at me and said, look, last day you're going to live, I doubt I'm going to jump up and down and say, whoopee, yes, wonderful. I'm sure at that moment it may shock me, but I'm a firm believer. I can find a place in prayer and I can ask God to help me find this peace that He has promised me. We need it. We need it. We need it. As my wife comes to the piano this morning, I look right here, 1, 2, 3. I got about 10 references I was going to go to, but I'm going to save you the time. And I just want our hearts to be settled on this. Listen to what it says. It says this in Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Stand to your feet this morning. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Thank God for peace. We need it. We need it, church. We need it. I read this. I'm going to share this illustration with you. And please just give me your attention and let me share the story with you, and then we'll go from there. Years ago, a man sought, he wanted to find a perfect masterpiece painting of peace. So this man one day put out a decree, put out a challenge that stirred the imaginations of artists all around. He said, I will give you a large cash prize if you can paint me a perfect picture of peace. As the competition came together months later, artists from all over began to come in. The tensions grew. At the end of the night, only two pictures remained. As the judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. It was a mirror smooth lake reflected by green birches underneath the soft blush of an evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Everybody began to clap at how amazing and how beautiful and how pristine this picture was. Surely this was going to be the winner. But then the judge uncovered the second picture. The crowd began to laugh a little bit, because in this picture there was stormy skies. There was a rocky cliff. The crowd almost grew cold. They looked at the stormy gray clouds as they were about to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. In the midst of this noise and this bitter chill was this tree hanging underneath a waterfall, kind of draped out underneath the waterfall. It was a branch. And on this branch was a bird's nest. And in this nest was a bird. And the bird was sitting there on her eggs with her eyes closed, undisturbed by the waterfall, undisturbed by the lightning, undisturbed by the clouds, undisturbed by all the noise. She just had her eyes closed, sitting there. And the judge announced, "This is a picture of perfect peace." Why would the second artwork, why would that second piece of art win? Because in the first picture, everything's just right. The clouds are right. The weather's perfect. Of course, it's easy for the sheep to eat grass when everything's just right. Of course. But is that real peace only when everything is peaceful? But in the second picture, here it is, in a very loud and stormy atmosphere, is a bird with her eyes closed, in perfect peace. That's my question here this morning. How many of you really have the peace of God? Now, everything may be going fine with you right now. You say, "I've got the peace." Well, you know what? We'll see. Because storms and trials would come. And it's in those moments that it reveals what your character is really made of. All right? So in the altar call today, we're not going to come forward. We got our first Sunday fellowship dinner. And I believe God can work just this way right here. Number one, if you're here today and you're not saved, and you do not have that peace with God that you should have, I think it's a fine time for you to be introduced to the one who brought peace for all of humanity. Number two, if you are a Christian, and you say, "Brother Derek, I know I'm saved, but all these different events in life, all this stuff is going on, it has really attacked my peace." I want you to understand this. Peace is a gift from God. And all you got to do is ask the Lord, your shepherd, the Lord of your salvation, "Lord, I need fresh peace in my life." And I believe with all of my heart you can leave here today believing it. You said, "Brother Derek, but when I leave here, my circumstances are the same." I know that. But let not your heart be troubled and be not afraid. Pursue peace. Be like that bird on that branch, draped underneath a waterfall with stormy skies, eyes closed, trusting that everything's going to be all right. Let's pray here today, dear Heavenly Father.